and compassion and joy and equanimity. Okay, so that's why the prayer of the four immeasurables comes next. Because by cultivating these four, then we're freeing ourselves from the obstacle to becoming Buddha, and we'll help free others from that same obstacle. So the prayer that we have here is a short version of the four immeasurables. There's also a longer one. And even though we did a short one here, I think it's worthwhile to read the longer one because it goes into a little bit of depth that makes us think in a different way. In the longer version, it starts out with equanimity. In the shorter version, equanimity is the last one. Okay? The long version, equanimity is the first one. Don't expect things to be the same. Okay? So it starts out, how wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were to abide in equanimity, free of bias, attachment, and anger. May they abide in this way. I shall cause them to abide in this way. Guru Deity, please inspire me to be able to do so. So in the first line, you're saying how wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were to abide in equanimity, free of bias, which holds some people close and others distant. You know, attachment, which clings to the ones close to us, and anger, which throws away and discards the ones we don't like. How wonderful that would be if all sentient beings were free of that. Okay? But we can't leave it at how wonderful it would be. Okay? We generate a little bit more energy. The second sentence is, may they abide in that way. Okay? How wonderful it would be if they abided in equanimity. May they do it. More energy, more force. Then, taking responsibility, I shall cause them to abide in this way. And that's the same, how wonderful it would be, may they be that way, but I'm going to engage, I'm going to make this happen. But, because we're limited beings, we need some inspiration, we need some guidance, we need some help ourselves. So then the last line, we request to the Guru Deity, in other words, the Guru, the Deity, the Buddha, all of whom have the same essence, you know, to inspire this, to inspire us, to bring this about, to make this thing that we're saying how wonderful it would be actually happen. Do you see the progression of the ways we're going here? Okay. So in the second verse, it's love, which is the wish for others to have happiness in its causes. So how wonderful it would be if all sentient beings had happiness in its causes. And I mean, that's just incredible just to think about that. How wonderful that would be. Wouldn't that be incredible? No? And then may that happen. Yeah? Like energy coming. And I'm going to cause that to happen. I'm going to get involved. I'm not going to sit around and twiddle my thumbs and daydream. I'm going to do something. And I'm going to ask for help for those who are more capable than me. So we say, Guru Deity, please inspire me to bring this about. And then the third verse is compassion, the wish that others be removed of their difficulties and suffering and their causes. And here it's not just, we shouldn't see difficulties and suffering as just, you know, a headache and a toothache and hunger and these things. Of course those are suffering and difficulties. But we should think beyond giving just simple remedies, beyond giving an aspirin and some food. But what is the root cause of all these difficulties? Well, it's the ignorance and attachment and anger that binds us to cyclic existence. So when we want to remove others from their suffering and its causes, we want to remove them from their anger, attachment, and ignorance that makes them get born and get old and get sick and die over and over and over again. Okay, so we're going to a deeper root of the suffering, a deeper layer of suffering. We're not just giving food, but we want to give Dharma teachings. We want to give guidance on the path so that other beings can actually transform their minds and free themselves. Okay. So we want to free beings not just from the hunger, but from the mind that makes us take the body that gets hungry. Okay? So how wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were free from suffering and its causes. You sit there and you think about how wonderful it would be. Okay? And then, may they be free. I shall cause them to be free. Guru Deity, please inspire me to be able to do so. The mind's always developing throughout these. And then the fourth one, which is joy. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were never parted from upper rebirth and liberation's excellent bliss. Okay? So, it would be wonderful if they were never separated from upper rebirth. In other words, if they always had good rebirth, not born as animals or whatever. And not only that, but if they were never separated from the excellent bliss of liberation. In other words, from the state of being freed of your anger, attachment, and ignorance, and all their sufferings that are their effects. Okay? And then, may they be freed. I shall cause them to be free. May they never be parted from this excellent bliss. Okay? I shall cause them never to be parted. And Guru Deity, please inspire me to be able to do so. And it's good sometimes to just sit and meditate. You can spend a long time thinking about these four immeasurables and really cultivating them in your mind. And you don't have to save it for when you're on your meditation seat. You can do it in the middle of a traffic jam. Yeah? How wonderful. You're in the middle of I-5 when it's all blocked up and everybody's upset and angry. How wonderful it would be if all sentient beings were to widen equanimity through bias, attachment, and anger. Yeah? And just sit there in the middle of your traffic jam and think that. Yeah? I mean, you can really feel the effect of it. And you can sit and meditate on these things in that kind of situation. Some people make tapes, you know, of the prayers and then put them in the car. So you can, instead of listening to some of the other things we listen to, we can listen to some of the prayers or the teachings. It's very good that way. Okay, so that's the four immeasurables.